this feast of Saint Monica is such a beautiful feast. And when I give retreats or meet people, when I give parish missions or mission appeals, and invariably I'll meet people who will ask that question, Father, what can I do? My son or daughter has left the practice of the faith, or they're married and have children, but my grandkids have not been baptized yet. What can I get them to do in order to come back to the faith? What can I do to get them back in the faith? And, you know, I'd love to hear some of our listeners' success stories about that. You know, what really works. I think ultimately, though, what St. Monica shows us is persevering prayer. For 30 years, she prayed for her son's conversion, St. Augustine. And St. Ambrose, a holy bishop of Milan, Italy, told her that such prayers, which are watered by tears, that these will not go unheeded by God. God could not ignore such prayers with tears. And so to trust that God will use that prayer. And I'm sure St. Ambrose told her, you know, you may not see it while you're still alive, but don't ever feel that your prayers are wasted or have gone unheeded or unheard by God. What I love about the story of St. Monica and St. Augustine is this as well. You know, she died in the year 387, so very early in the church's history. And we celebrate saints on the days that they died because that's the day that we, their birthday. It's their birthday into heaven. So we always celebrate their birth into heaven on the day that they died. So she died in 387 on this very day, August 27th, and 43 years and a day later, her son, St. Augustine, died. So he died 43 years later on August 28th, ensuring that these 2 days would be celebrated right next to each other, their feast days, their arrivals into heaven. And I can't help thinking that, you know, this is not a coincidence. This is part of God's providence that these two people who were so closely connected with one another as mother and son, but also you could say that St. Monica was Augustine's spiritual mother, that her prayers led to his conversion. It's no coincidence or mistake or accident that they would have died a day apart, 43 years, you know, apart, but a day after each other in the way that they would then be celebrated together one feast day right after another. So I think it's a great reminder to us of the power of prayer, of persevering prayer, of prayer that is combined with sacrifice, the tears, the penance that she did, and also a prayer with confidence and hope that God will answer those prayers, maybe not in the way we know or can see or will be able to see, but God will never let any prayer go unanswered.
Father, you mentioned how, you know, no prayer is wasted, and that might be the exact feeling that parents have when they've tried and tried and tried and nothing seems to be working and the communication seems to be breaking down. And how can we really hang on to that promise that those prayers are heard by our Lord, answered in the way that he deems best?
Well, I think, you know, Pope Francis gave us an example in his first apostolic letter on the joy of the gospel. And he said, you know, we are so impatient and we are a people that like to see results. We live in an instant kind of culture, you know, where we have instant coffee and instant that. And so we bring that into our prayer lives where we want to see results from our prayers. And Pope Francis had a beautiful reflection on this. He said, you know, faith means that we keep on praying and working even when we don't see the results, but we trust that God will use our prayers, maybe, again, not in the way that we thought they should be used, because God's ways are not our ways. But he said, faith in Jesus' resurrection includes this faith that he is still alive and he is at work in the world. And one way that we allow him to be at work in the world is through our own spiritual connection with him and our prayers, which, as it were, create a kind of conduit or pipeline for God's grace to come into the world and into the lives of our loved ones.
Father James Kubicki joining us this morning for a look at St. Monica and encouragement for you to keep praying for that child that may be away from the faith. If you've got stories you'd like to share, 888-914-9149, whether it's been a success of reeling one back in with the help of the Holy Spirit or you're still struggling and need some more prayer support, we'd love to hear from you again at 888-914-9149. Sometimes in certain Catholic circles, it can be a competition for perfection, not only to have the cutest little kids as they head off to kindergarten for the first time, but also to have perfect adult children and then talk about their successes and grandchildren and all of that. Talk about some of the struggles and maybe the right way to put them in perspective for parents who are feeling bad that they maybe aren't seeing perfection in their adult children.
Well, I'll tell you, I learned something about this from a woman by the name of Leticia Velasquez, who lives on the East Coast. And she is the mother of a child who has Down syndrome. And she wrote a book called Very Special Parents. You know, we often talk about special needs children or adults, people who have handicaps, disabilities, whatever it may be, that makes them, in our eyes, less than perfect in a physical way. And so she talks about how God will allow children to be born with those needs, and that the parents are chosen as very special parents to be the parents of these children with special needs. And she calls them very special parents. And I think we can apply the same thing with regard to the spiritual world. We often think, parents do, I hear this all the time, they'll say, what did I do wrong, Father? What did I do wrong that my child has left the practice of the faith? They're not following the example I gave. I gave them a Catholic education, and now they're not making use of that in terms of practicing the faith. And that people will say, what did I do wrong? We're living in such a time with such a powerful culture that draws people away from the faith. This is not the 1950s where faith and church going and prayer, that was so much a part of family life. We live in different times now, and the culture with its influence through the media and through the internet on young people in particular is a very strong influence. So I tell parents, you know, you may point the arrow in the right direction. You have your bow set and you're pointing your child like an arrow in the right direction. But when that arrow gets out there away from you, away from the bow, it is under all kinds of other influences that may push it in a different direction than the one you pointed it in or intended. And so this is often the case with children. And I think God allows this in the same way that God allows children to be born into families with different needs, special needs, that perhaps we could think of children with special spiritual needs. And families are given an opportunity to pray and to suffer and to grow deeper in their own relationship with the Lord and to be called to a more convincing witness of the faith in their lives as they try to witness to the importance of the faith when they gather as a family. I think maybe we should look on families in those situations as being specially blessed by God to be given that opportunity to pray and suffer the way Saint Monica was and to become saints in the process.
Father Mary calling from the Twin Cities in Relevant Radio 1330 land on our charity mobile studio line. Mary, go right ahead. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Just wanted to add something that resonates with everything Father Kubicki is sharing this morning, and I thank him for all he's sharing. Also very, very true. Father Rocky once said on air, in answer to a question like what we're discussing now, you know, what do you do and how about your family, Father Rocky? And Father Rocky said he watched his parents pray for all of them, all of their lives, and that the prayers weren't all answered in their lives, but that Father Rocky is seeing the fruit of all that prayer by his parents on behalf of himself and his siblings. In his own life now, he's watching the fruit of that prayer. And I just wanted to add that because I heard years ago on air from Father Rocky, and it has always remained in my mind and heart. And I think it is resonant with what Father Kubicki is sharing this morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Mary, and thank you for calling in and reminding us of something that Father Rocky said, and that awareness that, you know, as I look at my family, not my sisters, but I wonder about the faith of their children and the practice. You know, as a priest in a family, I'm often called upon to celebrate marriages, and in some cases lately now, some of my great nieces and nephews are not being married in the church, and so it. I pray for them at Mass every day. I feel as a priest in my family, I have that obligation that, and that's a desire, a happy obligation to pray for my great nieces and nephews and anyone in my family who may have wandered away from the faith. But I think Mary reminding us that. Again, that God does not take our prayers lightly, but that he does use them in his own time and in his own way. And to trust that is so important for us because it helps us as we exercise trust to grow in that faith ourselves. So thanks for that reminder, Mary.